In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Okay, we've started the recording.
All right, we've started the recording.
Way to go, Ty. That was a really good introduction.
Welcome to episode 39, I think, of the Talking Hockey Podcast. Ty, Luke, Martin, Eric. No special guest this week, but we had some exciting news to talk about because things actually happened. We're going to talk a little bit about some coronavirus outbreaks. The outlook for the NHL starting back up. And then we had some news today. Sergachev signed a deal, and Boychuk also, his career's over. So that helps the Islanders out a bit in their cap situation. But anyway, let's get into it.
And everyone, next week, we will be streaming live our podcast on Twitch, twitch.tv/talkinghockey. So make sure that you tune in there, and we'll make sure that Eric links it, because he didn't this week.
I didn't know we were doing live this week.
You literally are the one that suggested doing live this week on Monday.
That is a fact, but then I didn't know if it was confirmed or not. So,
well, it's confirmed now. So what's the point of going live? That's a good question. We release on Fridays, but we record on Wednesdays. So whoever listens and tunes in live will be 2 days, well, 36 hours smarter than the people that tune in on Friday, which I think is pretty substantial amount of intelligence.
These are the facts.
I don't spit anything but facts.
That's just good information management right there, you know, getting ahead of the competition.
Ty, you have to keep your mustache for at least one more week so that people can see it next week.
Okay.
No. I thought this was the last episode of watching that thing on his
face. I guess you could just share the episode link.
Yeah, save this one.
Yeah, it should save. I don't know if I can go back in and edit out the first 4 minutes of this, because it was the first 4 minutes were kind of a shit show.
Leave that world's biggest hot dog in there, though.
Yeah. All right. So what's the first story of the day?
Well, we had some coronavirus outbreaks on the teams. And, you know, of course, you don't want to they didn't say who the players were, but Vegas had a bit of an outbreak. Columbus had a bit of an outbreak. And also Team Canada's World Juniors had an outbreak. So
do you think now that Columbus players have coronavirus that Seth Jones believes in it now?
No, absolutely not.
They're not going to die.
I've heard things about nurses in the States saying that people are literally in the hospital dying, and they still don't believe that's COVID.
Yeah, I think I posted that on our story.
You did? Yeah.
Okay. There's a good TikToker out there who posts, like, because there was this one guy who fell off a ladder and died, and they said cause of death was COVID, and everyone's like, that's bullshit, blah, blah, blah. And he actually talks about it on TikTok, saying how he died because a thing that happened with COVID was, it wouldn't have happened if he didn't have COVID, and somehow that led to a trauma that wouldn't have taken place that was actually the cause of death. And they're like, good thing doctors are the ones that actually do cause of death rather than you internet idiots.
That sounds about right. Yeah, I was trying to find the tweet that Seth Jones liked that was talking about COVID being a hoax, but I can't find it at the moment.
Well, him and Werenski and also Nathan Gerby, all big coronavirus deniers.
Caleb Jones as well.
I really want to hear what Brandon Prust has to say, though. The most intelligent man to ever be in the league. I'm really curious.
Do you think he has like
and Dustin
Penner all there right now? Dustin Penner and him.
No, bro.
Like,
he's got CTE out the wazoo.
Yeah, I feel
he's got football player level CTE, I'm sure.
We're not accusing, just for legal reasons, that we are just speculating and have no end.
You should read George Orwell's 1983, according to Dustin Penner.
All right. That was probably a really simple typo, though. I feel bad about it.
I don't think that's him
actually being stupid.
I bet it isn't a typo. I bet he actually
there's
thought it
no
was
way. That one is
it just
most
doesn't
likely
sound
a typo.
Right. If you just say so it out loud, it just sounds wrong.
I know.
Oh, yeah? Read 1983 by George Orwell. Was that the prequel?
It was when life was all capitalist and not socialist, run by military government propaganda.
Exactly.
I think I have 1984 on my bookshelf somewhere.
So are we in 1983 right now or in 1984? What are we in right now? That's the question.
The reason why the government makes you wear masks is so they can see who they can mind control and who they can
manipulate.
Manipulate, exactly. So if you're not wearing a mask, good, keep it up.
you're super woke. Yeah, keep
you're
up.
You're not getting mind controlled.
Both sides are using the exact same arguments, except one's using science. But the other one is also saying, you know, the death rate isn't that high, which is factually high and true. But just like stay inside. If you just stood inside for a month, you anti-maxxers, anti-vaxxers would need neither. Like, just think about that for a second. You'd need neither if you just stayed inside for a month. But
that's what Australia did, man. That's what New Zealand did. They're partying it up over there. All you got to do is stay home for 2-3 weeks.
They have like huge stadiums packed with like 50,000 people and no cases.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's actually insane. Like, they're so much better off than we are. I think we had 1,500 cases just here in Ontario yesterday.
Alberta has a third of the population also had the same amount.
Yeah, there you go. So it's just like,
and
the U.S. is even worse somehow. Like, we're not handling it well. Like, we're doing bad, and they're just like 200,000 a day.
I know someone who got tested for COVID, like being positive the second time because he already had it once, and he's like, "Oh no, I might have it again."
Yeah.
Oh, good.
He had it 2 months ago. I was like, and he's like, "This is the worst thing I've ever felt." It took him out for like 3 weeks. He said it's still impacting him 2 months later.
Because they can't, like, you even though that you're surviving, you're not going to die from it. Like, people can't see, or people can't smell, they can't taste, they can't breathe very well.
Like, they're even talking about how COVID will like ruins your brain function as well, like long term. Like, not even just short. Like, they're talking about people who had it like 6 months, a year ago, and so on. And they're talking about how, like, they're having troubles concentrating, focusing. Like, they say, like, their mental decline is that of like something similar to dementia in older people. Like, that's how bad it gets for some people.
And Matthews and McDavid have both had it, so
that's good. Although apparently,
if they're both bad next year, we know why.
Apparently they're both practicing together right now, so I've heard.
They are.
And
yeah,
Leafs Twitter was freaking out all about it and saying how McDavid was – I think McDavid was mentioning how much he liked playing with Matthews and how much they liked each other or some shit. And
yeah,
Leafs Twitter went crazy.
Players always say. Have you ever heard hockey players say, "I hate this person, I hate this player"?
I mean, I wish they would. They sometimes do. Drew Doughty clearly very much hates Matt Tkachuk.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's like the only –
But I don't think Tkachuk actually hates Doughty. I think he just likes having like, I think he just likes messing with him. Like, that's the vibe I get.
Yeah, probably. So, I mean, no, McDavid and Matthews will never play together, apparently, unless it's on the Arizona Coyotes.
Well, actually, it's confirmed that McDavid is now coming to the Leafs because he likes playing with Matthews. It's just confirmed.
He always was.
It's going to happen. It's going to be John
Tavares.
He
requested a trade, and he said, "I'm only going there if it's for Martin Marincin, one for one." And then we get rid of Marner because we need to clear cap space.
Yeah, so we get rid of Marner.
We get rid of Marner.
Well, we trade. Okay, so the trade works out like this, right? You trade Marincin for McDavid, but then you trade Marner for Marincin.
Oh, genius! Oh.
Big brain.
You get both players.
Yep.
The best players in the deal.
Damn.
That's a smart trade.
Ty's playing 4D chess. We're all playing checkers in his world.
So what else are we talking about today? We covered COVID.
Let's talk about the World Juniors, because this kind of screws Canada up because their players already aren't playing.
Yeah, and now they can't have training camp as well. I feel like Canadians and Americans are going to be very far behind.
Well, the Americans,
it looks like Americans
are,
Americans are playing.
The NCAA is playing.
Yeah. So I think Canada's going to have a hard time, it seems like, at the World Juniors. Like, if they haven't played, and when's the first day?
It's going to be like mid, it's like in a month. And they just had their training camp for Canada. That was probably the players' first time actually playing games in 6 months.
I don't understand. I don't think they're going to be able to do it unless they create a bubble. Like,
well, they already are. It's in Edmonton. So they already are just basically setting up that NHL playoff bubble for the World Juniors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. now that Alberta is like a hot spot for it, right? Like, basically, I think one of the team staffers, like a trainer, had it, and it, you know, it spread to the players, so they had to shut it all down.
Well, that, I think this is a good example of what's going to happen with the NHL if it comes back this year in January, mm-hmm. February, whenever the season starts. Like, I don't see how they do it without making a bubble again, because there's going to be a family member that goes out and sees friends, gets COVID, gives it to someone who gives it to someone else, or a trainer or a coach or cleaning crew or whoever the hell it is that gives it to someone.
It kind of seems like the sports leagues have kind of said fuck it. Like the NFL, they're reporting multiple cases a day. I know, like, you get huge fines and stuff for breaking protocols.
Yeah.
So the NHL,
hey, if you want to go see
something similar,
I haven't heard.
If you want to go see a football game down, if you want to see a football game down in Miami, you can. 50,000 people in the stands.
I saw my cousins at the Dolphins game, actually.
Oh my God.
But the stadium wasn't packed. It looked like pretty empty. It looked like they were actually spaced out somewhat from what I saw anyways. Yeah. But I was just
it's literally crazy seeing highlights. Like I'm watching, hockey highlights every now and then. You just see fans in the stands. Like it's like crazy to see it almost. It's like,
I guess sports
wow.
leagues
That's
are literally
what life
just
used to be like.
I think sports leagues are literally just thinking, fuck it. Like, our players are young and probably won't be affected. Like, is that what it's kind of coming down to? Like,
mm-hmm. MLB thought that. Like, mm-hmm. So Freddie Freeman, who, luckily came back, but he was literally out in like March. He couldn't, like, he had a major fever. Yeah. And there was a guy on the Boston Red Sox, his name, Eduardo Rodriguez, I think he's a pitcher. And he couldn't play at all even in the year. Like, these are, I know baseball isn't, the same as hockey or whatever football is in regards to
the athleticism.
If you
can't play baseball, you definitely can't play hockey. Yeah. Right?
Exactly. So if these guys are unable to play, and there are a couple football players as well who had to sit out the season just because they can't play. They were so affected by COVID afterwards.
And I think the players aren't even really worried about themselves. I feel like they're just going to be worried about what happens to, like, their kids or their wives or their parents or whoever it is. Like, I'm not worried about me getting it necessarily. Like, obviously, there's a chance that I get whatever. I get some bad side effects, or I get, that memory issues that I was talking about earlier. But, like, I just don't want to give it to, like, my parents or my grandparents or something like that. And that's the worry I feel for most people.
So, like, I'm lucky that I work from home. I know this isn't really hockey, but, like, I'm lucky I work from home, but my sister and my dad don't. My dad's a teacher. There's just, 100 kids in his school. My sister goes to the mall and she works there, and there's hundreds of people there every day. So, like, literally, it doesn't matter what I do. I don't leave my house that often, but, like, literally, they
leave
every
day. Yeah, my sister works at a grocery store, so... And my brother's in university, and whenever he comes back, I assume he's been around quite a few people. So I'm kind of in the same boat.
Anyway,
yeah, there's
do you
varying
think the NHL's
levels.
Gonna come back?
And then there's Martin just partying all the time senior age parent.
Martin's still parading around
in Kingston.
On dates.
Martin, did you get in a fight this weekend?
I didn't do anything this weekend.
Martin did have a little bit of a breakup this past week.
A Queens girl or which one? Martin, which
he's
which
laughing
girl?
Because he knows exactly what I'm referring to. I still can't believe. So I was reading this text. I'm not going to mention anything in it. I'm just going to say that Martin's definitely a sociopath. I just want this out on the record. Like, I've said some like bad things or done some bad things, and then there's Martin here, and I'm just like, wow, Martin's so much worse.
Why are you exposing the boy like that?
I know it.
I'm not going to say anything specific, though, you know?
Eric, yeah, I'm really worried too. Goes to his car at 10:30 at night and does the dirty.
Okay, relax. It's winter. It's cold outside.
Oh, true. What are you doing now, Eric?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you leave the car
this
on?
This is getting cut out, right?
Oh, no, this isn't getting cut out.
This is on Twitch, actually.
Oh, my God.
This is being live streamed. Good thing we didn't promote this careful. One. We're just testing.
You know
it.
What? I don't think we could do this podcast live.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think we can, Luke. This is a bad
we definitely
idea.
Can.
No,
this too is much, just a test run. Don't worry.
Too much gets cut out every single episode.
Guys, I don't know who's telling you I cut shit out. I don't cut anything out.
I'm telling you he doesn't.
I cut out very minimal things.
I know, but you cut out like the worst of things.
I cut out the part of me saying I'm going to cut it out so that the audience doesn't know I'm a dick. And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site in the world that can move as fast as you do. 73% of online job seekers in the U.S. are visiting Indeed each month, according to ComScore total visits. So it's clear Indeed can help you get the quality hire you need. That's why more than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed for hiring. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire, all caps. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BlueWire at betonline.ag. That's BlueWire, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And now we'll get back into the show. That's how it works. I mean, come on, guys.
Great.
Let's be real here. But I cut out the Martin things because Martin's my boy.
I just want, I feel like this should also be cut out. I'm just putting that out there.
No, you expose Martin and then I have to expose you.
Is Martin your knight in shining armor?
Knight, yeah.
Martin, knight someone's knight in shining armor, even though he was really not.
Hey, let's move on to hockey, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Do you think the NHL's Martin, coming back?
Yeah,
it's coming back 100%. They don't care. People will get COVID. They'll get COVID. They don't care. Many of the athletes don't seem to care too much. Money rules all. The owners want it. Fans kind of want it at this point.
Do the owners really want it based on the stories that are coming out?
Well, I think so. What's happening right now with the NHL is the teams want players to take farther pay cuts, right? The NHLPA and the NHL are meeting to discuss this because I think the NHL wants the players to take an additional something like 15% or 13% pay cut, which means they'll be getting about half of what they would normally be getting. And obviously the players don't want to do that because they already made cuts a couple months back when they originally renegotiated the CBA. So, and now the NHL is coming back and asking for more, and the players don't want to give in because then there's two reasons why, right? They obviously don't want to lose the money, but they also don't want to set precedent of, okay, take money, take more of our money, come back, take more of our money, open up the CBA again, right? Like that's kind of a bad precedent to set for the players. So, I mean, it's not looking too great for the NHL right now. Like there isn't many great options because what they want to do is they want to raise escrow. Essentially, they're not going to actually take money away from the players. They're going to forcibly take money out by raising escrow, and obviously, escrow is basically just how much the players put into an account that doesn't get paid to them till the end once they figure out how much the revenues were because they need to split the revenues 50-50 between players and the team. So theoretically, let's say escrow was 15%, but revenues fell much farther than that, then the players would get more than the 50-50 share essentially. And the NHL doesn't want that. The owners don't want that. So that's what they're fighting over right now. So I don't, and the thing is, like, it doesn't seem like either side wants a given because the owners don't want to have a season if they're going to lose more than 50% of revenue because that's going to, obviously, you know, they rely on that revenue to cover the costs of playing the season and so on. So it's kind of hard to say whether the season's going to happen or not.
How's Arizona going to pay their players?
I mean, how is Ottawa going to pay their players? I was looking at the amount of revenue NHL teams brought in, and it's crazy how Ottawa had a profit of like $2 million in 2019-2020 without paying anyone. They had no salary on their books and still barely made a profit. Like that's ridiculous.
Martin, if they keep going at this trend, you could probably buy them in the next 10 years. You and Eric combined.
Let's do it, Martin. Man. Let's own an NHL team together. We'll
dude,
do it.
I would love cool. to own an NHL team.
That's the dream.
Our ultimate dream, man.
That is the ultimate.
Let's do it. We couldn't afford the Leafs.
Can we crowdfund it? Can Talking Hockey followers crowdfund buying the Ottawa team? Yeah. If anyone wants to do that with us, just like DM me. I'm in. If you have a dad that's like a multimillionaire, that would also help.
We need more than one multimillionaire.
Need a couple.
We need at least two for Ottawa Senators.
I think they're valued at $300-something million right now. So we need about $300 million. Maybe we just buy a majority stake. We buy 60%, or let's say 51%. So we need $155 million. I think that's doable. You know,
You think Eugene Melnick's reasonable? No. He's going to value the team at $900 million.
Well, the thing is, the NHL is weird because they keep selling franchises for like $500 and $600 million when the franchises that are worth the least are worth like $300 million, $350 million, $250 million. I don't remember what the Coyotes are worth, but it's not much. Like there's like 7 or 8 teams in the league worth less than like $400 million, sorry. But they keep selling franchises for $500 million plus $600 million. So
that's
like
true.
It's such a weird dynamic.
You shouldn't be forced to pay more than the worst team is, because and then that gives you incentive to be like Arizona, be a good team.
or make them sell it and take them to a place where they can be worth $500 million instead. Like, I don't know, it's just, the NHL is so weird. I've been doing a bunch of posts like the bottom 11 NHL teams are worth as much as the New York Knicks, which is funny. I also have a post coming later today. The top 10, okay, Guess how much the top 10 NHL players made this past year in terms of earning. So that's sponsorships, everything. Guess the top 10. Just throw out a number that you think it would be.
180 million.
Okay. Martin, what's your guess?
I have no idea.
Just think about it. The top 10 NHL players, they all make $10 million-ish. Then add some sponsorships. Add the guys that are making like 15, 16 because of bonuses and everything. Guess a number.
What Luke say? 120?
180.
He said 180.
180? 120.
Okay. And Luke and Ty?
I'd say like 135.
Okay, so I think Luke was the closest. It's $160 million, the top 10 NHL players earned in 2019-2020. Guess how much Lionel Messi earned last season?
180 pounds or euros. 180 million euros, sir.
Ty Martin?
250 million.
That's a high. Yeah. That's a high number.
I don't think that'd be a billionaire within 5 years. Messi, it's probably like 100.
Messi made $172 million last year.
Oh my God, I was close.
So the top 10 NHL players made 160, and Messi alone made 172.
Well, I think that just shows that soccer is like a worldwide sport, obviously, right? Yeah.
No, it was just like I was blown away. I was like, that's insane. Like I knew there was a big disparity. But then I was looking at it and I was like, that's a gigantic.
Yeah.
And here's an even crazier disparity. Messi's earnings last year were $172 million. Guess how much the revenue for St. Louis was last season? It was $171 million. So Messi made $1 million more than the St. Louis franchise did in revenue.
Damn. I'll tell you why that is, boys. It's because hockey players play for the logo on the front and soccer players play for the name on the back. You can't be a winning team with selfish players that want to get that rich.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, it's true. Look at how bad Barca is.
Yeah, look how Barcelona hasn't won anything ever. Like, honestly.
Look at the NBA. I mean, look, 29 teams lose and they all have rich people wanting to get paid. There's only one team that can win with superstars that are getting paid that much. Therefore, the correlation and causation is the same.
Yep. You're 100% right. LeBron's never won anything because he's selfish and doesn't know how to win and just wants to make that money, you know?
Yeah.
Also, here's what.
Every year there's 29 teams that have rich people that don't win. So therefore, winning is and making money is a correlation to losing, Eric.
That's a fact. I can't argue.
That is.
Yeah.
Can't argue that.
So here's one more funny fact. So Messi made $172 million last season in earnings. The bottom 22 NHL teams combined made $175 million in operating income. So all 22 NHL teams combined made less in profits than Messi did last year.
That's insane.
I know. I was like, and I had to make posts of all this because I was just like, those numbers are just incredible to me.
This was the year that Messi got bought, right?
No, he was going. He wanted to leave.
He wanted to leave, but he didn't. Yeah.
He didn't get sold?
No.
Oh, it was there was a crazy clause in his contract that he tried to fight, but he couldn't win it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think he'll like even with $172 million?
He could have. He had it. So there was a weird thing in his contract, like a clause in it where if he was sold prior to a certain date, it would be a free transfer. But if not, then a team had to pay like something crazy, like $500 million or something like that, right?
Was it 700?
It was wild.
Yeah.
But because so he tried to argue it because like you know with the season shutting down and things like that, he tried to argue it and extend the deadline so he could leave. But then they said no.
Yeah, the problem is Barcelona's management has just been awful for years, and the president has had conflicts with Messi for years too. So it's just been like a consistently like problematic relationship between the two for years now. But I mean, he's the best player in the world, so he's going to get his way eventually. It's just going to be next season. But the president's going to leave, I'm pretty sure, if he hasn't already. So
not that anyone else. Antoine Griezmann also sucks.
He's a really good player. He just doesn't fit Barcelona's system, which is the issue. But not many players fit Barcelona's system, I find. And they also don't get the best coach. They haven't been bringing in the best coaches ever since Enrique left like 5 years ago or 4 years ago, whenever it was.
Anyway, this is enough talking football.
Okay.
Yeah, we're done with talking soccer.
Okay, so back to the Islanders then. Boychuk has been, did you say retired or he just put on LTIR
Islanders said his career is over, which is funny because about a month ago or 2 months ago, he said, I'm totally, so backstory, he had got a cut near his eye from a skate back in, I think, March, right? And he had to get surgery, whatever. They said, he initially said there was no eye damage, but then today the eye, and he said in July he was fully healed. And today the Islanders said his career is over.
Yeah, so Lou literally went and said, "You're Lou going back to Robidoux Island."
It's just funny reading all the stories. My eye is fine. I'm perfectly healed and ready and looking forward to the next season. Actually.
He played in the playoffs? Oh, and then he got a head injury. Yeah, so he was healed.
Yeah, so
he was fine, but Lou probably pulled some shit and forced him to retire. Fair enough. But that, so anyways, for everyone listening, for anyone that thinks Boychuk was enough to get the Barzal signed, it's not. So he saves, they'll save $6 million on by putting him on LTIR, but that still only leaves them with like $4 million in cap space. So they still don't have enough to sign Barzal because they signed Pulock to that $5 million deal for 2 years. So they have it rough, to say the least. And I don't know. They need like $8 million to sign Barzal, I assume.
I can't
see him getting less than Aho. Unless they bridge him. But then if they bridge him, that means they've bridged Pulock and him to 2 years, probably. Maybe they bridge him for three, although that seems unlikely.
That Pulock deal is brutal because it just walks him right to unrestricted free agency.
It walks him right to UFA at 28 years old, which is, you know, right when he's about to exit his prime, kind of, but he'll still be a very good defenseman for another 4 years after that, theoretically.
Yeah, he looks pretty. He's really good. Like a big right-handed defenseman is one of the hardest shots in the league.
Yeah, you know, that hard shot gives him a lot of value there.
It does.
I don't know. I think the Islanders are in their win now moment. I don't think they're going to be there in 2 or 3 years when Anders Lee is 33, Brock Nelson is 32, Jordan Eberle is 33, Andrew Ladd is 36 and still has one more year on his deal. Josh Bailey is 31, so he'll be 34 or 33. Pajot will be 30. Like, that's going to be a rough team in 2 to 3 years. Just anchored by long-term big contracts to their highest paid players. So, maybe Barzal takes a deal that walks him to UFA 4 years. I think he has four years left.
They'd probably need it like six and a half to seven for that period of time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe.
So they got to clear a little bit more.
We have seen some like crazy discounts, like Sergachev, which I know we were going to talk about, but he got, what, $4.8 million, I believe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, 4.8 for 3 years. I think everyone thought he was going to get like six or something like that. I know, like, when I was doing my contract breakdowns, I don't remember what I had him at, but I definitely had it more than 4.9, but obviously I did that before COVID and before all of it got, all the contracts and everything got all fucked up.
Yeah, I think that there's wait for Cirelli to come out. That's going to be like $3 million.
Yeah, I had him at 6.75 times 5 years, but obviously 3 years I would have made it less. I don't think I would have brought it all the way down to 4.9 though. But anyways,
I don't think that one's as much of a steal as guys like Point though. Like
that's not even close. Yeah, but Point's like a star in the league. Sergachev's just a really good, you know. Probably a good second pairing defenseman right now. I don't know about top pairing guy.
Well, especially behind Hedman, he's not getting on the top pair.
Yeah. I think the market value, his market value is $4.9 million, so it's not a huge steal.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a contract he's going to outperform, obviously.
Yeah, just wait. Like I said, just wait for Cirelli to come in at like $3 million.
Yeah, that I bet on like $4 million or something like that, like something stupid. For like 3 years or 2 years. I can see it. But are we talking about anything else today? I feel like that was that.
Pretty much it.
Oh, we got a short episode, boys.
Yeah, we got 30
minutes. Yes, way to go.
We're making it easy for 31 producer minutes Luke. So far.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're playing around with the stream. It's still not easy. I need to figure out some things. But Ty, when Eric goes live on Instagram, you and I can go live on Twitch.
Yes.
And we can be shirtless.
Yes.
Whoa, that's not allowed. That's stealing my
your brand.
Yeah,
it's not
brand.
It's not a You haven't incorporated yet. You haven't incorporated.
I think it is incorporated underneath the Eric clause.
All right, Ty, close us out.
All right, thanks for listening. This was a short one, but we're running out of ideas, so we hope that if we do this live, you can leave some comments.
Next week, we'll have the chat open. We'll take questions as we go through because Eric never posts the Q&A in time. He always posts it about a minute before we actually record. So,
okay. I'll post it the morning of.
No, because we're going to go live. It doesn't matter.
Oh, true.
Yeah. And if it glitches out.
Watch us live. Let's be real. I would
probably we got, quite a few.
We got four.
Just
people
make it
right
a
now.
Swipe up. make it a swipe up thing on your story.
I will
promote it. Promote it the day of. Say we're gonna go live later.
I'll promote it the day before. Even better.
I'm gonna edit what I say now. You're gonna have to actually think
Martin,
about
you,
things.
Martin, you already don't say much. So.
Yeah. That was so funny last week when I'm like, Luke, don't worry about Martin's track. He literally said one thing, and he literally said one thing.
And he had trouble saying it. He stumbled over his words like three times.
Guys.
He did.
most of the time, Martin doesn't even bring up these stories about himself. It's either Eric brings them out and embarrasses him, or Martin doesn't even have to filter what he says because he doesn't say anything. We have to filter what Eric and Ty say about Martin. And then I have to filter what I say about Eric in retribution for what they say about Martin.
That's a good
I get ripped on. Happens.
Don't worry, Martin. I can take it out in the episode, just not the live part. So I mean,
so only a couple people will see it live.
Yeah. No. So like the live content, people will get those exposés of us. But in the actual produced podcast, it's gonna be clean, it's gonna be safe, it's gonna be PR friendly. Actually, no, our podcast is not PR friendly. I take that back.
Dude, I was when I didn't hear from the interview, I was literally like going through in my head. I'm like, what if they listen to the podcast?
Literally.
Episode number one, what do we talk about?
That was literally what was looking in my mind. What if they listen to it and then we're like, nah, we can't hire this guy.
So did they bring you back? Did they
they emailed me back. They actually sent a meeting invite this time, but it's at 3:30 on Friday now. So
Eric's gonna get Kyle Dubas on the show soon.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
That is the sole goal.
And we can rip on him for rip on him for the Nylander contract.
Yeah.
Well, apparently according to Overdrive,
and not trading him.
According to Overdrive, John Tavares is the worst the worst contract.
Dude, did you see what they said though? They said they were going through. It was based on an article from ESPN, and they listed all the top contracts and worst contracts on the teams. And for Buffalo, they put Rasmus Ristolainen as their best contract. Wait, saying.
That's an ESPN article.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to post that. Okay.
It was based on an ESPN article. There. You see, I give Eric all these ideas for good content. He posts them and they always go off. Like the one with the Kevin Hayes is a top five center in the league.
Yeah, that one. That was bad.
Like, I sent the picture. He's like, oh, I'm posting this. 2 minutes later, he posts it. And then has like 300 comments on it within an hour.
Dude, that post got like, oh, I see the. Okay, I'm going to make this into a post right now.
All right, I'm ending the recording.
Okay, goodbye. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.